Genesis chapter 28. We'll start by reading the first 9 verses. Genesis 28, beginning with verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that he had blessed him, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word and seek you this evening, we pray that you would open our hearts. Pray that you would minister to us, and we pray that you'd help us to hear and understand, to see your hand, your leading, what you're saying. We turn this time over to you. We love you. We thank you that you hear our prayer, that you're here with us, that you use your word in our lives to lead us and transform us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we continue in the story of Isaac and Jacob. And there's a lot to be said. We can touch on real briefly. Here you notice that Isaac blesses Jacob again. The book of Hebrews says that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. This would be the blessing that was by faith. The last one was kind of a tricked, half-hearted, planned blessing to the wrong son. But here he seemed to sense, God wants me to bless Jacob. God's choice is Jacob. So he called him knowing it was Jacob, and he gave him the blessing of Abraham by faith, knowing that it was God's desire. We see that there's a big deal placed on which wife he takes. Rebecca, worried in the last chapter, she says, "What good would my life be if he took a wife of the Canaanite women?" So Isaac charges his son Jacob not to take a Canaanite to be his wife, not to take a Hittite woman, a Canaanite woman, like his brother Esau did. And the importance of this, just as Isaac took Rebekah and not a wife of the locals. Now, Jacob probably didn't understand the whole importance of this. But the promise was that God was going to make a nation of Jacob, his descendants, and that to that nation he was going to give the land. He wasn't going to have Jacob's descendants mingle with the people of the land and become a part of the land and have a portion of the land. God's plan was to, the Canaanites had the land, to remove the Canaanites, their culture, their people, and it would be no longer their land, and to give it to the descendants of Jacob, a new nation, a new culture, a new way of doing things. This was God's plan. This was God's promise. For Jacob to marry, intermarry, within the land, this wouldn't work. How would he be given the land as a people if he was already a part of the culture that was already there? So the truth is, it would never work for Esau to have the blessing of Abraham because he had wives of the Canaanites, two Hittite women. So God's choice was Jacob. But what I want to look at this evening is, you think of Jacob. Here's Jacob. He's received the blessing officially. And his father does three things. He blesses him. He charges him. Don't marry a Canaanite woman. Go to the land of Paddan Aram. Marry a woman of your mother's family. Blesses him, charges him, and then he sends him away. Go. Sends him away, leaving everything he knew, everything he was comfortable with, his whole routine, his whole plans. Haley says that Jacob was probably in his 70s at this point. The whole life that he's built and known. And Isaac is saying, okay, now I want you to leave. He sends him out, away from it all. Pretty radical, adventurous, going out to the unknown. Think about, would you be able to do that? Leave everything behind? Now, Jacob had a lot of motivation because if he stayed, his brother was going to kill him. He was willing to go for it. But you think about how scary that must have been to Isaac at this point. It totally went against all of his routine, all of his plans, all of his comfort, what was comfortable, what was known, what he understood, to go out to a completely new land, totally green, not knowing what to expect, not knowing what would happen, alone, leaving everything. Quite adventurous. And yet, the next thing you see is that Jacob obeyed. He went for it. He went forward. He left everything. And he went forward to the land of Paddan Aram. He knew where he was supposed to go, basically. He knew he was supposed to marry a woman, but what was he going to do? Who was he going to marry? Where was he going to work? Where was he going to live? Didn't know any of that. Left it all behind and radically, adventurously embarked on a new life. Pretty amazing. Now, in contrast, we see Esau. He sees all this going and he sees how his parents are displeased with the women of the land, the Canaanite women. Here he has two of them as wives. So his way of trying to fix it is he goes to Ishmael. He makes a plan. He picks a wife. He picks her up, adds her to his harem, the two wives he already has, and then he goes back to his life there with his parents in Beersheba. And yet, in contrast, you look at Jacob and Esau. Jacob is leaving everything behind and setting off for a new life. Esau is trying to fix his parents, gain his parents' approval, fix his mistake by another choice. He doesn't leave anything behind or change anything. He remains in his routine, his pattern, his plans, his comfort zone there in Beersheba. I appreciate this adventurous act of Jacob. Now, I think God desires us to live an adventurous life. Now, I'm not saying that we should all quit our jobs or leave our homes or go off to a distant land with no plans. But the thing I'd like to bring to the table this evening is, are you willing? If God were to call you to do something adventurous, something that came directly opposed to your routine and your plans, your comfort zone, something that brought you out of your comfort zone, something that you didn't understand and know what would happen if you did it, would you be willing to follow, to obey as Jacob did? I thought about myself. Through the years, I've kind of decided I like to stay close to family. I appreciate being close to my family. I've kind of made that choice and that plan that's become a routine. I like my family. Over the past several months, the Lord has been challenging my willingness. Not that I don't bet I'm to be sent away, but am I willing? See, that was my plan, to stay. What if God were to call me away from my family? It's not my plan. It's not a part of my routine. That doesn't sound necessarily comfortable. I don't understand what would happen. But would I be willing? This is what the Lord has been challenging me with. I thought of another thing. I've said many times, I like to work with my hands. I don't want to have some office job, sit at a desk in front of a computer for 40 years. What if God wanted me to? Would I be willing? Would I be willing to let God change my plan or my routine or lead me to the unknown, an adventurous, to embark on an adventurous new life, to bring me to a place that's uncomfortable? Would I be willing? As Jacob obeyed adventurously, going out, leaving everything behind. It's interesting because I think that God requires us to be willing to be radically adventurous. God has a way of messing up people's plans and routine and bringing them out of their comfort zone and leading them to an unknown destination. The Bible says in Hebrews that by faith Abraham set out on a land he did not know where he was going. Jesus, when he came to earth, he'd mess people's plans up. Came up to Peter, said, "Cast your nets on the other side of the boat." "That's not the plan, Jesus. We already washed the nets. We're done fishing for the day." But okay, we'll do it. He said, "Follow me." They left their nets. They left their boats behind, and they followed Jesus, not knowing where they were going. Leaving everything behind. Levi, in the Bible, I read Luke chapter 5 yesterday. Jesus came up to him and said, "Follow me." And he left all and followed him. I think God requires us to follow him and obey him in an adventurous way. Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, he must lay down his life, pick up his cross, and follow me." Are we willing? What happens when it crosses our plans? When it goes against our routine? When it's uncomfortable where he leads, what he desires? Jacob obeyed adventurously. He was blessed, sent out, and charged, and he went forward. Let's continue reading in verse 10. "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! There is none other than, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" Jacob embarks on this adventure, and he makes it so far to a place he didn't know where he was. Exhausted, the day spent, he finds a rock for a pillow and he goes to bed and he has this amazing experience. God reveals himself to him and speaks to him in an amazing, intense, vivid way. Something that Jacob had never experienced before. He heard God. He's seen this vision of this ladder. Interesting. You know, this ladder with angels ascending and descending. He was like, his mind was open to the reality of the spiritual realm. God is here, and I didn't even know it. God is real. There's more than just this life. And he got a glimpse into the reality of the spiritual realm. The idea of the ladder being kind of the thing to where that bridges the gap between the spiritual and the physical, representing Jesus himself, the ladder. In the New Testament, there's a scripture where it says, Jesus said to Nathanael. Nathanael was coming, and he said, "Hey, I seen you when you were by the tree, and your brother asked you to come." And Nathanael was like, "Wow, this guy's a prophet." He said, "You're impressed because I seen you by the tree?" And that's nothing, man. He says, "You're going to see the angels of heaven descending and ascending upon me." The ladder, the bridge, was Jesus. And he's seen this vision, and his mind was just blown, this intense, vivid experience with God. And I believe that this is connected with the fact that he's obeying adventurously. I believe routine and plans are not bad. But being in our comfort zone in a routine, following our plans, can crowd out God. When we're comfortable, we know what's coming. We know what to expect. And we lack an experience with God within it. And God calls us out of it all. And I think the more adventurous and radical we obey, the more we're setting ourselves up to have an experience with God. We go to a place where we've never been before, and we're freaked out. We don't know what to expect. We're ripe for God to meet us there. We're looking for something. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. In the Greek, that means do not let the world press you into its mold. See, the world would be very happy to put a routine and a plan and set parameters on your life where there's no room for God to come in. God wants you to break free from that and go forward to the great unknown, adventurously obeying, taking steps. See, the life He has for us is an adventurous life. The Bible teaches us to walk by faith, not knowing what's coming, according to physical, earthly logic, but believing in something more and pressing on to that which we don't fully understand yet. Adventurous. And I believe when God, and again, I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything drastic. In fact, don't do anything unless the Lord leads. But when the Lord leads you to do something that's scary, that goes against your plan and your routine, that's uncomfortable, when you do it, it intensifies your experience with God. The more radical you obey, the more vivid your experience with God will be, I believe. The more you let yourself get out there and you take that step and you go for it, the more you leave behind, the more fully you lay hold on what God is saying, the more He will reveal Himself to you. I've heard someone say, you know, oftentimes our experience with God, we say, you show me and then I'll believe. And God says, no, you believe and then I'll show you. It could also be said, you know, you tell me what it's going to be like and then I'll say if I'm willing. He says, no, you tell me you're willing and then you'll find out what it's going to be like. And Jacob went out, and Jacob had a vivid, intense experience with God as he went out. Some things that notice here with this experience, this revelation. Fear is addressed. Notice in verse 15, behold, I am with you. See, this is a scary thing to do, to step out of our comfort zone. To leave everything behind is extremely scary. To believe God and obey Him when we don't know what's going to happen is scary. And yet when God revealed Himself to Jacob, He addressed the fear. He said, behold, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. When Jesus gave the Great Commission and He sent out His disciples before He ascended into heaven, He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, teach them, baptize them. And He said, and lo, I am with you always. Sending them out on an adventure, but addressing the fear. I'm gonna be with you. I'll help you through. You don't have to freak out, because I'm going to be there. And I'm going to make it work. I'm going to work it out. I see also that something, notice in verse 16, Jacob awoke from his sleep and says, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Something different was going on in Jacob's life. There was a change that took place. His eyes were opened. Everything changed. I notice that there's an assurance here. In verse 16 it says, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. See, that step he took. He went out into the middle of nowhere and obeyed adventurously. And then all of a sudden here he is, and he's saying, I know it. Surely the Lord is in this place. He's gained assurance. There's no doubt in his mind anymore that God is real, that God has called him. We were reading in Ezekiel, and God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, and that I will put my spirit and flesh on the bones, and then they will know that I am the Lord. People say, how can you know that Jesus is God, that Jesus is who he says he was? Well, I know because he saved me. And when you start to have an experience and a relationship with Jesus, then you'll know. You'll know. And he knew. There he was. Surely, God's in this place. An assurance. Notice in verse 17, he says, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This intense, vivid experience he had. It was something different, and it was awesome. You know, I was thinking, I like to be comfortable. I like routine. I like plans. I like to know what's coming. I like all that stuff. But you know what? I love a true experience and relationship with Jesus. There's no comparison. See, I give it all up. The routine, the comfortable planning, the doing what I know what's coming, having everything cool the way I want it. I'll give that up for an intense experience and relationship with Jesus, because I've tasted. I know it's awesome. And nothing compares. I'll face the fear of the unknown for that. It's worth it. And Jacob, he was bit by the bug. He drank the Kool-Aid or whatever. He was going forward. He knew what it was like. You imagine if God revealed himself to you like that. You'd be going forward also. There was no turning back. It didn't matter what was ahead. It didn't matter if it was scary. God sent him. God was real and he knew it. Awesome, intense, vivid experience with God. Interesting, what did God say and show Jacob? He said, he confirmed, I will bless those who bless you. Through your seed all nations shall be blessed. I give you this land. He confirmed the blessing of Abraham to him. He told him, I will be with you. I will walk through this. I will keep you. I will not leave you until I have accomplished this and bring you back. He assured him of the promise. He assured him of his presence. What did God not say to Jacob? He didn't tell him how any of it was going to work out. He didn't tell him where he was going to go next. He didn't tell him any time frames. He didn't tell him where he was going to work, who he was going to marry, where he was going to live. Didn't give him any practical details of what's coming up, as oftentimes God does for us. But instead, because he wants to maintain the adventure, the radical trust, the life of faith, he says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do something. I am going to bless you. I am going to accomplish what I've promised to do. That was it. No more details. See, he had to still believe. He had to still go forward to the unknown. He still had no idea what was going to happen, but God was going to be with him. It was enough. God was going to make it work out. God was going to accomplish what he promised. Let's read the rest of the chapter, beginning verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, house of God. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I shall surely give a tenth to you. So we see this, that after Jacob wakes up, he engages, he responds immediately to the revelation, to God's, the experience he had with God. We see that he sets up the stone as a pillar. First thing he's doing is, I don't want to forget this, man. I don't want to ever forget what happened. I'm going to set this up so I know, so I can remember, so I can see it. Set up a pillar. Then he poured oil on top of it. And I was thinking, you know, oil was precious in those days. And I think this was kind of an act of, this is what I'm going to use my oil on. This is what I'm going to pour out what I have of value on. This rock, this type of experience, this life. You know, you think of Mary and how she came to Jesus and broke her bottle, alabaster bottle, and poured the valuable perfume on his feet. That's what she wanted to pour her oil, her expensive perfume on. Jesus, the feet of Jesus. Jacob had this experience and he wanted to do something. He set up a pillar, he poured his oil on it. Then he made a vow. He's like, okay, I'm in, God. I'm ready. I'm doing it. I'm going. Hey, this is the life for me. No turning back. I'm going for it. Some of the commentators notice how he says, now, if you're going to bless me, if you're going to bring me back, if you're going to be with me and keep me, then I'll give a tenth. Like maybe Jacob was bargaining with God, being the trickster he was. I don't see that as much. He's human, and maybe some of his human emotions and concepts and ideas are present, but I think he's responding as best as he can to God. And God said he was going to be with him, so he says, hey, if you're going to be with me, then I'm in. You will be my God. You're in charge. You're number one. I'll follow you. I'll worship you. He made a vow to God. Then he says, I will pay a tenth of all that you give me. Kind of an expression of his worship. I don't want to forget this, set up a pillar. And I don't want to ever stop investing in this. This is real. You're God. And I want to be a part of it. And I want to never stop being a part of it. And I want to invest in it. I want to continue to have a part of it. So I believe he's engaging and responding immediately with all that he has. What does he have there? Oil and whatever he could get his hands on, whatever he could think of. He was responding and engaging. Some scriptures. Again, we talked about Romans 12, too. Do not be conformed, Paul tells us, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Paul's saying, don't be like everyone else. Break the mold. Yeah, bust through it all. Be set free. Go forward and prove God's will for you. Let all your other plans and routines and your will fall to the side. You know, the world's way of things is containing and constrained. Bust that free and see what God wants to do with you. James tells us, the book of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 says, do not say, I'm going to go to such and such city, I'm going to make such and such profit. You don't know what tomorrow holds, he says. Say, if the Lord wills. See, planning is not wrong. You can make plans. But James tells us, and the Bible teaches us, allow the clause for God to change your plans. I'm thinking about doing that, but hey, you want me to do something else, God? You just say the word. Who knows what's going to happen? But, you see, the Bible teaches Jacob had, and what I'm trying to bring to the table, as you know, Isaac charged his son Jacob, if I were to charge us this evening, is to embrace this adventurous, radical idea of giving God permission to mess our lives up, turn things upside down and wreck our plans. Do you want God's will if it means changing your plans? Do you want it? to God's a gentleman. And I think in many people's lives, certainly people that don't accept him, but even in Christian people's lives, God's kind of backed up and come to the conclusion, they don't want any more of me. They don't want to do what I've called them to do. They don't want to go. They don't want to change. They're happy where they're at in their routine. And they don't want to go any further. Well, I want to go further. I want to go wherever God is calling me to go. You know, throughout Scripture, the experiences people had with God, intense experience, oftentimes on the mountaintop, in a cave, in the wilderness, out in the middle of a lake, in the middle of a storm. Not in the routine, planned, organized boundaries of what they think their life should be. But out where they're uncomfortable. Out where they don't know what's coming. On the edge of things. That's where God wants to know, is he allowed or do you give him permission to take you? Do you want him to lead you to a radical place? Do you want to obey adventurously? They asked Jesus one time. He said, hey man, you're different. Your disciples are different. They don't fast. They're drinking and feasting and they're not like the Pharisees' disciples. They're not like John's disciples. They're different. Jesus said, well, they'll fast someday. They're with the bridegroom. He said, but listen, he told them a little parable. He said, you don't put old wine in new wineskins, or new wine in old wineskins. Yeah, they're different. Yeah, this is different. Because you're supposed to put new wine in new wineskins. See, God doesn't want us to bring him into our routine or calculate him in our plans or have him join us in our comfort zones. God wants to do something different. He wants us to have a new life. And he wants everything to be new and different. Changed. Radical. Now, like I said, I'm not telling everybody we should go and move. Actually, for some people, it's more radical and difficult to stay. There was the demoniac in the Gadarenes. Jesus healed him and cast the demons out. He said, let's go, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. No, he said, Jesus said, you stay. I don't know how to be anything but a crazy guy here. That wasn't the plan. My plan was to take off. God's oftentimes leads us in a direction that is counters our plans. And I believe always for every person is going to lead us to do something that's uncomfortable, that's adventurous, that's radical, that's not conforming to this world but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So for Jacob, this was necessary to go out in the middle of nowhere. God knows what's necessary for us. I thought now, for some of you, maybe there's a step you're conscious of. You know what God wants you to do. Maybe back there subconsciously somewhere, at one point you knew God wanted you to do this. That's radical, man. That's not my plan. I don't know if I want to do that. I'm apprehensive. I encourage you to reevaluate and consider. Do you want to have a intense, vivid experience with God? Do you want to, like Jacob, say, man, God is awesome? Remember what David said in the Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. We sang the song, God is so good. If you think, well, maybe he's good for you, man, you haven't tasted if you don't think he's good. The closer you get, you'll know that he's good. I encourage you, man, if you know something, a step he wants you to take, it's worth it, man. The experience you'll get. I thought about my own life. I thought about one time where God was telling me to take a step, and I was apprehensive. What came to mind is one time we went to a afterglow at Calvary Chapel, Royal Oak. I was young. I don't remember how old I was. But at this time, I kind of had struggles of lust I was going through, and it was kind of in darkness and kept it secret. And at this afterglow, someone gave a prophecy or whatever. Someone in here is to come forward. And we would pray for them. They're struggling with lust or something like that. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was me, and God was calling me up there. And I'm like, I ain't going to go there. That's scary, man. I don't know what's going to happen. And I didn't go up there. I didn't take the step. I didn't take the radical, adventurous step, obeying with reckless abandon. I wasn't ready. It was scary. I didn't know what would happen. But I certainly wish I did. And the Lord was patient and changed circumstances, and He brought me to a place that I could come to the light and be honest, and was working in that area of my life. But I think even, you know, that was a long, long time ago. But yet that similar thing, see, what was scary about going up there, it's not like I was scared to go up in front of the church. The idea of taking that step, the fear behind it is what are people going to think? People think I'm better than, I don't want people to see my raw weakness. I don't want people to know that I'm that bad. And that's what was scary. And you know, I think even in more recent times, you know, the past couple years, there's been more than one occasion that I've seen things on the internet that I shouldn't. I don't want anybody to know that. Well, I thought of, went up to Office Max and picked up a computer game and was playing the computer game, got obsessed with the computer game. I don't want anybody to know how obsessed I was with that computer game. I don't want to take that step. I'm more comfortable keeping it hidden. But I wonder if that fear wasn't an obstacle. If I wasn't pressed into the mold of this world, as Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. I wonder if I had a radical obedience. If God tells me to go, I'll go no matter what, because I'm not afraid. Because a relationship and experience with God trumps everything else. Man, if that's what I want, I know that's best. I know it doesn't matter what people think in comparison. So I encourage you, if you know of a step that God is calling you to do, take. Something He wants you to do. And for Jacob, it was connected with marrying a wife. And oftentimes these steps are connected with regular earth stuff. Taking this job, moving to this place, marrying, not marrying, this person. And you think, well, to go there, that would be scary. I think God's telling me, I'm not even here, I'm la 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 la. I encourage you to take that step. And if you can't think of anything specifically, I'd encourage you to ask yourself this question. Do you want God to ask of you to take a step that's radical, that's adventurous, that's uncomfortable, that messes with your plans, messes with your routine, makes you uncomfortable, and to take a step that you don't know what's going to happen? Do you want God to do that? Because of course I don't want that. If it meant that that's how you have an intense and vivid experience in relationship with Jesus. That's how it works. That's what it means to walk by faith. Do you want that? And if you do, I'm confident, as Jesus said, you ask and you'll receive. He'll give you the step. Maybe it'll be a slightly smaller step than something major. You know, He'll kind of give you a baby step to start. And man, if you see the step, take the step. It's scary, I know. It's hard. It's not what you want to do. But man, it's worth it. Take that step, this adventurous, radical life. I'm confident that this is the life God wants for all of us. This idea, I have no idea what's going to happen in my future. But I'm willing to leave that open. And I want what God has for me. Whatever it is, no matter what, I want God's will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You're real, that You're in this place, that You're awesome, that You love us, that You know us. You know our frame. You created us. You know our personality. And You have a plan for us. You have steps for us to take. You have a job for us to do. You care, you know. Thank you, Lord. Makes life worth living. We pray, Lord, that you be patient with us, merciful and gracious with us. Teach us faith. Open our eyes. May we taste you, be bit by the bug, that we know it's worth it. Encourage us, Lord. Come alongside us. Help us along. Give us a step to take, the next step to take. Help us, Lord, no matter how scary it is, to take it by faith. We want what you have for us. We want life, and life more abundant. We want to put you above our own plans and agenda. We want to embark on an adventurous, unknown life where you lead and we follow. May we live this by the power of your Holy Spirit. We believe. And you desire this and you can accomplish this in our lives. We love you and we praise you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.